Welcome, everyone, and we're back with the Gustavus City Council. It is 6:19, and I'd like to call the April 24th, 2024 budget town hall to order. I want to welcome you all for coming. We've got a good crowd online as well as in council chambers, and this is the time that we listen to you. We want to hear from you as we go over the draft budget. The council will not debate tonight, and no decisions will be made. Treasurer Ben Sadler will describe the draft budget, and at the end, at the end of each section, we'll take questions or comments about that section. We plan to limit comments to 2 minutes, and our parliamentarian, Madam Clerk, will be the parliamentarian keeping and our timekeeper tonight. The meeting is being recorded, so please remember to state your name before speaking. Refrain from asking a question which has already been asked. These are all Robert's Rules of Order. And address all questions and comments to me. We'll rotate through, and I'm Damaris Shelley Owens. I didn't give my name. Ben may ask a question of a staff person if needed, or will provide an answer after the meeting. Staff and council members will not be making any comments tonight. And Madam Clerk, did you have anything that you wanted to add to the rules for tonight?
Yeah, so if anybody leaves here and they have another comment or something they'd like to share with the council, or maybe you don't feel comfortable getting up and speaking, or your time runs out, feel free to send those comments to me by email or in the regular mail, whichever you prefer. Email is probably the easiest, and that would be clerk@gustavus-ak.gov. And then I will share all of those with the council so that they can continue to hear your opinion and maybe thoughts or solutions. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And let's see. I guess I had some introductory remarks I wanted to make before we hand it off to Treasurer Ben Sadler. And he'll describe sort of how we arrived at the beginning budget preparations. When we started, there was a $200,000 deficit. And a reason for this is that during the last 4 years, we received nearly $600,000 in federal funding for COVID relief and reimbursement from FEMA for the flood damage we had. In FY23 alone, we received $400,000 in COVID and FEMA funds. We no longer have this sort of source of federal funds to draw from. So this is why we're belt tightening and being very careful about how we're proceeding with the budget. We'd like to know what your top three priorities are, and what ideas do you have to help us in the future to close the gap if some ideas have been being talked about, and will continue, probably not for this budget but maybe during the next year. And at this time, I'll hand mic over to Treasurer Ben Sadler.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ben Sadler, the treasurer. I was asked before we got started to not go over and repeat the same things that we had that we talked about at the work session. So I won't be doing it exactly the same way. I'm going to start off just by explaining the process. I'm going to kind of push through income. I imagine that most of the questions that people have won't be on income, but when we get to the end of the income, that'll be our first stopping point where people can ask questions. Once we've cleared that up, then we'll move on to expenses, which we'll go over a little more detail. So as far as the budget process, the way the whole thing works is in early February, I start meeting with the department heads. They outline their request. I enter them into a spreadsheet. I bring that spreadsheet back and start building the full budget. Once I have a basic outline, which is where we came up with the $210,000 deficit, I then pass that off to city administrator and the mayor, who then meet with the departments and go over where we can make some cuts so that we can get a balanced budget, which is what we're going to have eventually, and is the goal. So that's how it worked. I met with the departments. I entered the information that they gave me. I built the spreadsheet, passed it off to the city administrator and the mayor, and then they met with the departments. Then we met together and made the suggested cuts so that we could start getting it closer to zero. At that point, I took some of my conservative estimates and made them a little less conservative on the income so that we could get closer to the amount we were looking for, which is zero. We're currently at negative 17,000 and change, $17,089.10. Realistically, we can count on enough carryover from FY24 to cover that. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the only way that we can do it, but we can be confident that we can do that if it comes down to it. After we have, I'm sorry, I did skip ahead a little bit. After we have a completed budget that is ready to be presented to the council, then we have the work session, which is what we had last Monday. Then I make changes based on council recommendations. And then we have the town hall, which is where we are tonight. And this is your opportunity to tell us what you think about the budget we came up with. So that being said, I'll just, like I said, I'm just going to kind of push through the income real quick. Again, if you have questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them, but I don't necessarily want to repeat every single thing I said last Monday because the meeting took 3.5 hours. So, the only change to income that I made after the work session was the council recommended that possibly we take our interest from our savings accounts, not the endowment fund, but the AMLIP savings accounts, and we put that into the budget as a income. I took the money from the reserve account, which is our savings account that we are now keeping enough money in the reserve account to fund the city at its current levels for another year. If we didn't make any money next year, we would still have another year before we ran out of money out of our reserve account. So, between that account and our capital projects account that has the funding that the council's already approved, I was able to come up with $49,000, almost $50,000. Between that and our checking account interest, I was able to add in $50,000 that was not in the work session's budget. By doing that, I was able to then put the $50,000 back in that had been requested for the road maintenance budget. We'll get to that later on. So anyways, basically our income streams are the DRC and the community chest. We budgeted $116,600 for the DRC. That's based on where we are at today and the amount of money we made between today and the end of the fiscal year last year. If we make the same amount of money next year as we made this year, then $116,600 is a good estimate. The federal revenue is kind of an easy one. We know that we're going to get approximately $150,000 for PILT because we got $153,000 last year. And we've been budgeting $45,000 for National Forest receipts because that's an average of what we get there. So that's that $195,000. The fire department has a few income streams, billing for ambulance services, the ambulance subscription that everyone can sign up for. And now that Sol and Leah and Johan are all trainers, I believe that Leah is. I know Sol and Johan they're doing basic life support and CPR classes. And so that was another $150. So that's where that $10,150 comes from. The interest income is what I just spoke about. That's the $50,000. Gravel pit sales in, I think it was FY21 or it was FY21 that we doubled the amount of the cost of gravel from the city's gravel pits from $3 to $6. Between that and the amount of construction that's been going on, we're making a little over $40,000 a year in gravel pit sales. So that's that $40,000. The lands income is another $40,000. That is, I'm sorry. My line is in the wrong place there. That $40,000 is the gravel pit sales. The lease income is $16,000. The city leases spots on its property to AT&T, GCI, L3Harris and one more. And then we also now have the Gustavus Bike Shop, which is paying at the moment $2,000 a year for that spot there at the old post office building. So that's that $16,000. Library income is based on, again, like before, the amount of money we've made up to this point and the amount of money that we made last year between today and the end of the fiscal year. Next is marine facilities income. Marine facilities income is generated from landing craft fees. We charge $100 every time a landing craft comes into the boat harbor. The commercial vessel registration is the charter boats. The private vessel registration is all of your boats. And the storage area fee is the storage across from the DRC on Boat Harbor Road. Those are all based on actual amounts of income generated in prior years. So I think it's pretty safe to say that $22,700 is about what we're going to make. We did lose a few boats over the last few years. If we get more boats, then we'll make more money. State revenues, like federal revenue, it's pretty easy to gauge. We already know that the community assistance program payment is going to be $75,122.49. That's what the state allocated for Gustavus based on our population. In past years, when we actually get the money, we do tend to get a little bit more, but I believe they give you a hard number. That's what you should base your numbers on, not what you hope they give you. Shared fisheries business tax, that's just going down every year. And so the $258.69 is, again, that's based on what the state told us they're going to give us. Tax income is one place where I was less conservative than I wanted to be, but it seemed necessary in order to get us closer to the zero that we're hoping for. And so these numbers, like the others, are based on where we are today and the amount of money we made between today and the end of the fiscal year. And so for retail tax income, I went with 440,000. The remote sellers, that is, for companies that are outside of Gustavus that the state has gone and found and now have. They are now collecting tax. When you buy something from Amazon and you see that you're being taxed, that money is being given to us through the remote seller's retail tax. That also has continued to go up. We in FY19, we made, I can't remember it, and I can't lost it here. $12.49. Yeah. So you can see that we're at 67,313 this year so far. That is because the Alaska Municipal League has been out finding more people to collect tax for us. So 75,000 is realistic. Eventually, that number will kind of plateau, but at the moment, it is still increasing. The room tax income, the $100,000. That's what I budgeted last year. That's where we should be at the end of this year. We did in the end, the GVA needed an extra $5,400 to move their sign down by the fuel farm. And we hoped that we would get it through the room tax income. We may or we may not in this fiscal year, but we've made that money in other areas. So I just went back down to the 100,000. Fish box tax at the work session, I said it was, for some reason I had put in 6,000. I'm not sure why. I went ahead and changed that back to 8,000, same as last year. Those stickers are bought at the as the lodges start to open up in the beginning of the summer, and so that's why the currently we're sitting at 1260, but before the end of the fiscal year we'll be easily at $8,000. Penalties and interest is from sales tax. When you don't pay your sales tax on time, there are penalties and interest. And so it's kind of hit or miss. I don't like betting on people to fail, but $2,000 is where we'll probably be at the end of this fiscal year. So that's what I budgeted for next fiscal year. Tax exempt cards, $300. It's not really the big of a deal. So total tax, sales tax income was $625,300. Total income, $1,167,931.18. So that is the end of the income. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say about the income?
Okay, I see no one in council chambers. Does anyone out in Zoom wish to comment or ask questions about the income of the FY25 budget? Okay, I don't see any hands raised. Thank you.
Okay.
Move on to expenses.
We'll move on to expenses.
Oh, okay, Whitney, go ahead. Whitney Rapp.
Hi, thank you, Council. I just wanted to point out, this is Whitney Rapp. I would like the council to consider bringing our lodging tax into better alignment with our region. Currently, Gustavus has a 4% lodging tax and doesn't apply our 3% sales tax to lodging as well. In looking at our neighboring communities, they are all applying a 6.5% to 14% tax to short-term rental lodging. Seemingly, the easiest solution would be to apply the sales tax to lodging in addition to lodging rate for a cumulative 7%. This is what most regional communities do. Alternatively, I would like to suggest increasing just the lodging tax. I'm not opposed to allocating lodging tax to visitor-related expenses, but this is to me, but this would be including things like roads, docks, harbors, parks, attracting more tourists, and similar. I've sent you guys emails to provide more details. Thanks.
Thank you, Whitney. Does anyone ask? Yes, go ahead. I think we have a clarifying question, Whitney.
Mind Dean Chairman
Sure.
and Council Chambers. I just want to speak to Whitney. Whitney, I appreciate the thought. Actually, sorry, I should not address Whitney. I apologize, Madam Mayor. I want to address the council. I appreciate the thoughts that have been shared, but we are projecting a recession to occur. The specific economic engine that she's currently talking about is more than likely to start dropping off just with economics. If you look over a 20, 30-year history, that's just kind of what happens. So comparing what we do here in Gustavus, which is a very remote location, very hard to get to. We are not supported by any sort of cruise industry, and preferably would like to keep it that way. You would expect to start seeing drop-off of clients wanting to return to Gustavus if we were to increase that taxes. We understand that there is similar taxation in Juneau and some of these bigger cities. It's easier to access them. It's not destinational fishing or tourism like we see here. So I would highly, highly ask the council to reject that notion. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, it looks like David Olney has his hand up.
Yeah, I would just back that as I've made comments in the past. Typically, and I've worked in 12 different states, occupancy taxes are designed to drive tourism and be allocated to something that would be focused to it. So I'm a big person that's just like taxation without representation, that if you're taxing our guests but not giving them a benefit, it doesn't make any sense. I would be more of a proponent of increasing sales taxes if we had a shortfall to tax the people that are receiving the benefits rather than unduly taxing a guest that's not receiving a direct benefit. Now, if we do an enhancement directly toward tourism and we allocate those funds to that direction, I would be all for it. But that's the typical philosophy that's handled with all CVBs, tourist bureaus, and visitors bureaus, is that occupancy tax ties to something you're doing for the tourist directly to enhance their visit. So just my opinion on the occupancy tax. But as I said, if we have a shortfall at any point in the future, I'm more of an advocate of sales tax increasing. Thank
Okay,
you.
thank you, David. Looks like Michelle Olney has her hand up.
Yes, thank you. I did have a question about the room tax as well. And one of the things I've seen is a number of new VRBOs that are jumping up, which is wonderful to see because it gives everybody more options. But are they also included and the room tracks, and how are you tracking to make sure that you are collecting that?
I guess what I would say is that we haven't begun discussion of this. This issue has come to us from the public, so it's not anything that we have any information or opinion about at the council at this stage.
I'm sorry, what does that mean? You don't have an opinion? So they're not collect, they're not getting room tax? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, Michelle, I'm sorry. This is Ben Sadler.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. I think that Shelly wasn't, she wasn't responding to your question. So to answer your question, just like with, yes, the small VRBOs are coming in and registering as businesses. They are remitting sales tax. Just like everything else in Gustavus, we rely on the honor system. So I can't say that everyone has come in and done that, but I'm not aware of anyone who hasn't. When these things are brought to my attention, I usually send out a nice letter just letting people know that this is the city's policy, this is our ordinance, and I invite them to come in and register their business and start collecting and remitting sales tax.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
All right. And are there any other members that wish to talk about income at this point? Okay, moving on to expenses.
Okay. So this will go a little slower, but I will try to move through it. I would say that if anyone has any questions about a specific item, raise your hand, I guess. I don't know. It is kind of a freer forum than a typical work session, but we definitely don't want to get bogged down in long detailed discussions unless I need to be explaining something. So I'll do my best here. The first line item in our expenses this year is bank service charges. This amount has increased by $8,300 this year compared to last year. At the beginning of last fiscal year, we added an online payment portal to our website so that businesses could remit sales tax through the payment portal instead of sending in checks, and we pay 3%, at least 3% on every dollar that we receive through credit card transactions. And so we knew coming in that it would cost more. I don't know if everyone knew exactly how much more it would cost, but that's why the huge increase in bank service charges. Building, insurance, maintenance, and repair, these are pretty self-explanatory. The insurance, the way that our insurance broker has suggested that we budget is we had 15% to last year's, and that's what I did. So maintenance and repair, that is for all of the city buildings. I do have it broken down if anyone is interested in the individual building repairs, but that's what that $6,015 is. Ambulance billing expense, we pay a company called System Design West to do our billing, and they charge us approximately $1,300 a year for that. It's based on the amount of transports that we do. City engineer, last year we added, the city council added city engineer to the budget. And we budgeted $20,000. We've only spent $5,319 of those dollars. So this year I budgeted $10,000. We do have projects in the works that that an engineer will be helping us with. Managed IT services, that's across the city. We pay a company called Alaska Technical Solutions to do our IT work. And that's what they charge for the year. Contractual services, other, that is, goes through all the departments. Each department has specific things that they need. The marine facilities needs help moving the floats, and everybody has a little bit. I can break these down into what departments ask for what, and if we have to, I can tell you what exactly those things are. But if no one has any questions about it, I will just move on from that. Dues and fees, these are a variety of things from, our accounting software to our clerk, to be a registered clerk and et cetera, for Kathy and the city council to go to AML conferences, for the librarians to go to ACLA, you know, basic dues and fees kinds of things. So we've got $15,087 there. The GVA, the Economic Development Services, each year the GVA provides the city council with a budget prior to our budgeting process, and the city council weighs how much of it they will pay. This year they asked for $27,200 and the city council approved that. So that's what that is. Election expense, that goes mostly to the pay for the volunteers, so that they have snacks and drinks and the nice things they need for running our elections. I'm sorry, for helping with our elections. Our clerk runs them. Emergency and disaster. I think if I remember correctly, 3 years ago, we set aside $50,000 for potential emergency and disasters. And since then, we've been moving that money forward. We moved the income forward through carryover. We moved the expense forward. We have not spent any of that money to date. So that's what that is. Equipment. Equipment fuel, that is mostly the DRC, running the Bobcats, keeping the landfill active. Equipment purchase runs across all the departments. That's $10,891. You know, that could be for headlamps for the firefighters, or new tires for the Bobcats, or a new printer for the library, or computers for City Hall or whatever. Insurance, again, same thing. The insurance is for the Bobcats, and it's 15% higher than last year, $342.80. Maintenance and repair on the equipment. This is, again, mostly the landfill. They need new tires for the Bobcats, and the Bobcats just need to be maintained. And there are a few other things that the city has that it maintains. So that's $4,400 for total equipment. Of $17,833.80. I'll stop right now and just see. Does anyone have any questions about the things I've gone over so far?
I don't see anything on Zoom either.
Okay. Vincent celebrations. The city council, by approving the budget, one of the things that they approve is gift cards for the employees. The gift cards come up to about $3,800. So the $4,700 is for that. And for the library, is going to have two parties for its volunteers. And I believe the DRC still does a pizza party for the community chest volunteers. I'm not 100% sure, but if anyone wants to know, they can ask Ian. Freight and shipping, 34,000. I'm sorry. Okay. I can't see that far, Shelley.
Okay, go ahead, David Olin.
Yeah, I didn't, and Bandy, you're probably aware of this, but the IRS had a major change this last year that gift cards are a taxable benefit. So if you run those through payroll, you need to gross those up, just as a point of reference that's hit my desk.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Freight and shipping, $34,600. Most of this also is the DRC, $32,000 of it. That is us shipping bailed materials out of Gustavus. So we do make some money back, not very much. We got a check the other day for a few hundred dollars for some paper products that we sent down south. We try to bail and remove as much of our waste stream from Gustavus as possible. And $32,000 is on par with what we've been spending each year to get this waste out of here. So that's the big chunk of it. The rest of the departments, obviously everybody needs things shipped in because we live in Gustavus. So the other $2,600 is interlibrary loans, and just random shipping and postage. Fundraising expenses. This was the library. They want to buy more t-shirts so that they can sell their t-shirts to the community and to people who want to support the library. General liability, again, just insurance, 15% more than last year. The gravel pit fund, $6,000. When they set up the gravel pit fund in FY 22, why I don't have it here. They decided at that time to put $6,000 in, and that through the budget process, they would continue to put $6,000 in. Because we're making more money on the gravel pit sales, I suggested that we actually put in more than $6,000 so we can actually achieve the goal of having money in the gravel pit fund to improve our gravel pit. Unfortunately, when it came time to balance the budget, it was I put it back down to $6,000. Library materials is at $11,000. $7,000 of that is covered by grant income. This is books, DVDs, kits, anything that's not supplies, that the library has available for its patrons. Okay. I'm sorry, we have Justin Marchbanks. Yes, please.
So an observation on the gravel pit fund, it brings in 40 some thousand, whatever it is, which is more than many departments bring in here with, it doesn't require an employee. And so at some point, gravel pit has to be, the process has to be changed there. We've had meetings, myself, the other two folks that have leases out there have met with the city for at least 5 years in a row. We've asked for a plan moving forward. And we understand the wheels turn slow, but it's going to cost money. And putting, you know, putting all the money from the gravel pit into the general fund, or, you know, the gravel pit makes money and it costs, you know, nothing to the city. And so it would make more sense as an observation for me that rather than some of the other things that we do that people never asked for, that we do things like that, because that goes to our roads, which benefits everyone. It goes to people's projects. It's not just the guy selling it. So I would ask that you look at that whenever you have time to add back. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. All right.
Okay. Thank you, Justin. Marine facilities, the insurance there is... It's wrong. Is the steel float? Yes, that is the insurance. The $2,965.31 is the steel float. Occupational health. The city sets aside $500 so that at the DRC's request, so that employees can go in and get tetanus shots or things like that at the clinic without having to use their own insurance or their own funds. To my knowledge, no one has ever used this, but we budget $500 for it every year to just in case. Okay.
All right, Ben, I was just going through with you, and there's a marine facility maintenance and repair that's currently sitting at $3,000 and shows none being done last year and very little, if I can get my note out of the way, in the previous year. Can I ask why there is not maintenance and repairs being prioritized on these docks?
This is Kim Landine.
Kim Landine, I apologize.
In the past, when I was the Marine Facilities Coordinator, I was doing more maintenance, and I created, when we got our shed, I created a stockpile of wood, which is what that was basically paying for. And so the stockpile of wood is still there. So it didn't seem when we got around to making cuts, we haven't cut out supplies or other things. If the Marine Facilities Coordinator did need money to purchase things, that maintenance and repair line wouldn't be their only place to get money. And so that's why.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So wages, this is the most expensive part of having a city, but I'll go through it. The wages across all departments comes to $469,904.20. The payroll taxes on that are $41,622.74. The next two line items, if you're looking at it, is paid time off and sick leave. Until the budget is approved by the council, I don't want to have to continuously do the math on how much of the wages is paid time off and sick leave. Once the council approves the budget, I will fill in those next two lines. Wages will go down. Paid time off and sick leave will have accurate numbers, but the bottom line won't change. The city offers insurance through the Alaska Municipal Health Trust. We have Premira, and we currently have 4 employees, and next fiscal year we'll have 3 employees on it. The city pays 80% and the employees pay 20%. So the city's portion of that is $23,645.52. If you don't use the city's insurance and you have proof of other insurance, then the city offers a health insurance stipend of $200 a month for full-time employees, prorated depending on the amount of hours a person actually works. So that's that $12,200. The 457B employer contribution, the city matches up to 7% of the employee's wages into a retirement account. And that amount is $31,209.39. I'm sorry. Yes, okay. Then workers' compensation, again, same as the other insurance, 15% more than last year, for a total of $10,325.96. And payroll expenses, other, this question last week, direct deposit fees, excuse me, $230. For a total payroll expenses, $589,137.81. So this is the next opportunity if someone would like to talk. Justin Marchbanks.
So I appreciate the employees that work for the city. I think these positions are public positions. This is public funding. I would appreciate if you open it up and see what we're paying for, where the money is going. Thank you.
Real quick, Justin, you don't have to go back to the mic. Do you want me to explain where what departments are?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Sure.
Thank you guys.
Yep.
Libraries. This.
Okay.
Halls,
yep. Department. Okay.
Do you
sure.
Want me to go to the payroll?
No, I haven't. Oh, yes. Oh, if you want, yes, yes, please.
Okay.
Okay. So Liesl's brought it up onto the screen. This is my my spreadsheet that I use to figure out the payroll. So the administration, which is the city administrator, the city clerk, and the city treasurer, with all of the things that I listed, the department total is $243,461.58. The DRC is $97,403.79. The fire department is $120,271.52. The library is $100,208.66. And marine facilities is $27,792.25. And just before we get to questions, if anyone has any, the marine facilities payroll went down this year. I'm just clarifying a few of the significant changes. And the fire department's payroll went up when we added the EMS coordinator. The others, the COLA increase this year was 1.8% that the council approved. So wages only changed by 1.8% across the board. Does anyone have any questions about that? Justin?
I would like to state again that I support our Gustavus employees. I don't know where we got to this. We as a city cannot afford this many people working here. And so I think it would be good if we're going to be trimming budgets. Some people that are here have even offered to reduce their number of hours work. A city of 600 people, if you believe the census, cannot deal with a $600,000 payroll. No one here asked for that. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
As a point of community clarification, are all...
State your name.
Kim Undine. I apologize. I promise I'll get to that. Kim Undine, just as a point of community clarification, and also with a desire to express my gratitude for everyone that does work for the city, both in paid and unpaid positions. It takes a village to run a village, and I acknowledge that. I guess my point of clarification that I would like is, are the majority or all of city employees on contract?
No.
Are there any contracts that exist within the city currently?
Not with employees.
Okay, appreciate that clarification. And then is there qualifications that we can look at online to say why these people were hired and why a $600,000 budget is justifiable in the running of Gustavus?
No, there's not anywhere online where you can see the employees' qualifications or... I don't remember the second thing you said.
The justification for having employees to this cost. And I guess I can just back up that question a little bit. I've been reading the capital improvement plan and have been very impressed by the amount of volunteerism and grants and fundraisers that were done to build Gustavus. And I think that's kind of why Gustavus has the community feeling that it has. And I would hate to see that go as we streamline funding to more of what you would see in a large city, where people are removed from the projects, where we bring in more outside sources. And I would really like to see us maintain that. And I feel like we're setting ourselves up in opposition against that as we increase those payrolls. Thank you.
Hey, come forward.
Mm-hmm. Tosh Parker, my only input, I guess, is, wow, that's like 50% of your income, your payroll. Our businesses are, no offense, we bring in millions more than the city annually, and our payroll's less than you. So you are way, way bloated. Just keep it in mind. Like, just off the top of my head, library number seems high. Fire hall number seems real high. I mean, I understand there's some administration needs to be done, but I think it's way too easy to hire people, and that has an ongoing expense forever once you do that. So be very careful hiring new positions and maybe consider about trimming some to get some money back. To maybe fix the roads, things like that.
Okay. And Kathy Leary, did you wish to speak?
I just want to speak to the government sector has had to become somewhat competitive more than it used to in order to keep and attract employees. I'm not suggesting that we couldn't look at our capacity and maybe look at, you know, dialing back some hours in some places, but we lose people with organizations and companies with bigger pockets or deeper pockets when we don't offer benefits and we don't offer the same thing like a teacher contract or places that have unions or, you know, the federal government or, you know, that has better benefits. And so in order to keep things moving along in here, we have to be somewhat competitive. And we're still not as competitive as many other places. So it's kind of a middle of the road. And yes, it's sticker shock. I don't disagree. We've spent a lot of time shopping around for different health insurance packages and looking at what we could do to reduce costs. And it's something we try to do and to look at quite often to bring some of those costs down. So I just want to put it out there that, you know, competition is driving some of these things, and we have to kind of be competitive ourselves if we want to attract and retain people who will stay here and be consistent and know what's going on in the city and not be turning over and turning around all the time. So I just want to add that as a caveat of, you know, some of these expenses, recognizing that we can look at our capacity over time and overall. Thank you.
We have Whitney online.
Thank you. Whitney, go ahead.
Hi, this is Whitney Rapp again. I just want to reiterate or corroborate that thought in the fact that the federal government for a GS-7 position, which is a fairly typical seasonal position, so not a permanent position, is currently in Alaska $26.53 an hour plus a locality or plus a COLA that is probably another couple percent. So a lot of those wages are well below what a seasonal employee at the park would be making. And that's not a permanent position. And clearly, city has lost people to the park. So that is definitely a driving force to maintain competitiveness. Thank you.
Thank you, Whitney. And Paul Berry, you're next.
Yeah, can you hear me?
You're a little soft. Could you speak up or closer to the mic?
Okay, how's that?
Could be a little louder.
That's always a volume thing. I'll see what I can do here. Yeah.
Looks like we've increased the volume.
Okay. Yeah. It's just all services come with an employee, and there's a lot of things that come with having, you know, your wages, you know, being public information. And I totally agree with Kathy that you have to have benefits, and with what Whitney was saying too, that you have to have benefits that are in line with positions. And it really is expensive to have employees. And benefits are a very important issue, and there are costs that come with that. So I just wanted to add that in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, I think Tosh would like to speak again.
Just real quick to what Kathy said, I just want to say that I agree you have to be competitive. I do too. I get it. You don't need that many people. I don't need two people at the library. Come on. That's the thing. It's about adding people. I mean, yes, you have to be competitive. It's hard to keep people, but you don't need to be bloated and just hire. Sometimes people have to do a lot more work themselves. I mean, we run our businesses as lean as we can, and we have to be very aggressive about pay raises because inflation is wicked. There's a lot of competition out there. I lose people to the park too. I understand it. But I'm just saying, I think I'm not arguing with what you say about wages being competitive and what you have to do. I agree with that. I just think we need to look at maybe how many people you have on payroll. That was what.
Okay, thank you, Tasha. Okay, Colleen Stansbury.
Colleen Stansbury. And just briefly, I think it's unrealistic to think we can be competitive with the park. It's unrealistic. So, yes, it would be nice if we could be, but I don't see where that money's coming from unless you want to raise taxes, property taxes, the whole nine yards. So to go there, I understand and I appreciate your comments, Kathy. We have to be somewhat competitive, but we will never be able to offer the wage or the benefit package that the federal government can.
Thank you, Colleen.
And we had somebody online as well.
All right. We'll take David Olney next.
Yeah, I just wanted to mimic what everybody else has said. Yeah, I don't actually have a problem with the wages. I actually am extremely grateful for the city council for not being paid. It's a massive benefit to our great city. But the number of individuals, I'd rather see the library be limited hours and days and have one position there. And also with the fire chief just having one position there rather than having two positions. So I'm not counter to the wages or the employer contributions or the health insurance. I think that's all appropriate. Unfortunately, it is higher than what we pay at the lodge. As you all know, probably Curtis, myself, Michelle, all go for zero wage. But at the same time, because there's no profit at the end of the day. But our other positions, I agree, but it's the number of positions that we have at the city that is the challenge. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think also what I would like it is if we don't kind of begin to repeat, if you all agree, I'd prefer, we know that now a number of people have said that that we have too many and perhaps can't afford to pay. So if you have something new, by all means, Kim Landine.
I know I'm new to this community. I'm coming up on my sixth year, so I'm not naive to the realities of Gustavus, I think, anymore, although I still may be a little wet behind the ears. I'm seeing a philosophical difference between these conversations. One leans towards we need to compete with the federal government, and others that say we want more of a community relationship. We want volunteers at that library. We recognize that it takes people to run different community services. I would love to see Gustavus go back to what I'm reading in this capital improvement plan and how the city was developed. And I think the council is going to lead out on that by expecting the community to step up, and we will not, or we don't have the ability or the space to do that if we have so many paid positions. Thank you.
Okay. Would anyone else like to speak? Okay. I don't see anyone in council chambers and no hands. Okay. Next.
Thank you, Shelley. Professional services is the next line item. Professional services is our lawyer, not our lawyer, is the city's lawyer. And so even though we haven't spent so much money this year, I still put in $15,000 again for next fiscal year because of some of the issues that have been coming up over the last couple of months. We may have to engage with the city may have to engage with its lawyer more than it has in the previous fiscal year. And so $15,000 seemed like a reasonable amount. And that's what I put in. Public relations is I asked this last week and I'm not going to be able to remember. The city buys a spot on the Gustavus Fox's T-shirts that they sell, and that's $400. I don't remember what the other $300 was for anybody. So the DRC shirts?
T-shirts or like the signboard.
Okay.
I think like ribbon cutting, things like that.
Yeah, I think the DRC shirts was 200, 250. And then, a little bit more for ribbon cuttings and the like. The repair and replacement fund is the city has one of its AMLIP accounts is set up for repair and replacement. And it's basically we've taken our assets and depending on the life of the asset, we've either we're putting about 10% away. This year it went up because we added the septage storage facility. I believe that was the only difference was the septic storage facility. But either way, last year, or not just last year, for the last 3 or 4 years, it's been at $16,545. This year, it's at $18,555. Road maintenance. So here's one of the changes that the council suggested, the mayor approved, and I added in $65,000 for snow plowing is what we budgeted for last fiscal year. So it's what I put in for this fiscal year. If you are looking at it, you can see that we did go over by $2,855.40. That money just comes out of the road maintenance other if it goes over. And vice versa, if we didn't spend the $65,000 on snow plowing, that money would be used for other road maintenance. My initial budget proposal, the initial budget request was for $150,000 for road maintenance other. easy way to help balance the budget was to, it's easier to take a big amount out of one item than it is to take a lot of small amounts out of a lot of items when you're planning on adding these things back in. So I took it out of road maintenance. I know that that upset some people, but we've now put it back in. So we have a total road maintenance budget of $215,000. Does anybody have any comments about that? Justin?
Thank you. I think the townspeople appreciate the add backs or will. Road maintenance costs go up every year. Whether it be myself or whomever decides to do the work, maybe someday someone else will. Costs continue to go up. Tires, fuel, expenses, everything goes up. You budget 15% more on your insurance, as an example, every year. Costs of everything go up. For my particular situation, I need an employee. The employee that I need really doesn't exist here, that I'm aware of. A journeyman level type operator, mechanic sort of fellow. I'm going to be competing with CECON. You guys are competing with the National Park Service. So that individual is $120,000 a year. Okay. So that leaves in your old budget, whatever, for fuel, insurance, on and on. Maybe I need to replace a machine every 10 or 15 or 20 years, things of that nature. So we appreciate the add backs. Whoever does the road maintenance needs a realistic budget to do the work. Roads are always number one or number two in requests, complaints. We've had various community surveys. It's always been number one or number two, along with clean water, along with internet, along with the dock. You guys are working on the dock. Giannis is taking care of the internet. The water is PFAS, that's a mess, whatever. But roads are important to people. Roads shouldn't be something that we fool around with. Whether you like to have a contractor, whether the city decides to do their own thing, whatever it is, it's very important in this community. That's one of the reasons why we became a city, was people were sick of it. And that, the dock, were huge reasons why we became a city. And to mess around with road maintenance, to decrease it, to lessen the service, is nothing that anyone asked for. And these are the reasons why people get unhappy about payrolls and things like that, because we have a crumbling infrastructure that we have made. You know, there have been bridges, there have been ditching, there have been things that have occurred, but for the most part, we've been going in reverse for many years because we're not able to add back material on the roads, and we could make an hour-long conversation about what we need to do. But everyone knows how expensive it is. So it's a personal issue for me. People can say that, you know, it's all about me. Well, it's not. So we need to continue to do things better with the roads.
Oh, perfect on the timer. Nicely done.
I jabbered while I got it.
All right.
There's somebody online. Michelle.
Okay. Michelle Olney.
Hi, thank you. Michelle Olney. So thank you for that, Justin. And I also want to reiterate that the road maintenance is a huge issue for us as a business. I talk with many people who tell me that they're not going to come down the road to go to dinner because they don't want to wreck their cars. So that has a very much direct impact on our business, which, of course, that hurts. So, you know, we call in, we ask, we, you know, say, please come and grade the roads. And we're told, you know, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. So yes. So we're frustrated and we really would love to see a better plan in place that would not get to the point where you can't drive down a road before it comes to get fixed. So thank you.
Joshua. Josh again. I suppose I'd like to make a similar comment that a few years ago, I don't know, it's probably 10 years ago or something, the city spent a bunch of money and put a bunch of material on the roads and they got infinitely better for a short time because they were horrible before. I mean, you used to have to take a boat to get out Rent Creek, and literally in the winter. And there was a huge improvement for a time. And then it seems like it's kind of been going backwards. And I believe it's because we haven't been spending money on putting gravel on the roads. It just doesn't seem like there was a stretch of that and then it quit. And I don't know if there are funds available. I know you have the fund that, for instance, every year hands out money to the nonprofits and stuff, which nonprofits I'm associated with have received that and used it. But I would think a good use of a fund like that would be to fund some kind of capital improvement that the entire town can use instead of just going to one organization or another. I mean, if you took money from a fund like that and put it towards an annual capital improvement on the roads, it would be huge. I think it'd make a huge difference long term. Because grading is great, snow plowing's great, but the roads are still slowly getting worse until we spend some money on them. And I leave here and I go in the shop and work on my fuel trucks that are all breaking in half because they have to go up and down the roads all year long, no matter what. And it's tough. And I get it. We live where we live, but we can do better. So that'd be my.
Could I just speak to that real quick? The endowment fund that Toshua just mentioned, that we use the money to fund nonprofits and such, that's dictated by ordinance what we can do with that money. The city can apply for that money just like a nonprofit can, but it's the council would have to choose to change the ordinance that dictates what we can do with the endowment fund in order for us to use that money. Kathy?
Yes, go ahead, Kathy Leary.
Just a couple of things. Yes, the city can apply for that, but it's based on a formula, kind of like the 5-year rolling PFD formula, based on the average of the earnings over a 5-year period of time. So you'd also have to change the, even though the city could apply for it for those kind of things, the formula of how it was spent would have to be changed as well. And that was done like many, many years ago, I think even before we became a city or shortly thereafter. In terms of the condition of the road and taking steps backwards, you know, I wasn't here when we first had the flood, but there was a lot of mitigation measures taken on a lot of the roads that were impacted by the floods. And some of that stuff was just basic mitigation. So some of the conditions of the roads go back to just trying to get them drivable after some of the floods. So yes, the roads need more material. Yes, we're trying to look at what we could do in sort of a phased in long-term approach and where we might be able to maybe even find some additional funding for that. I don't disagree that we need to look at putting some more material on the road, maybe as a capital project expenditure, and considering also more operating day-to-day. Some people don't realize when the roads are in a certain condition, you can go up and down and grade it all day long and then all night long and 4 cars go over it and then it's back to the same shape it was when the roads are in a certain condition. It grading them all day and night isn't going to make a difference when they're frozen underneath and there's mud on top. Putting more material will help for a while, but there's just certain times when you just can't, there's nothing you can do about it until it dries up a little bit. And so people have got to start to realize that unless and until we have our own public works department, which nobody wants more employees, you know, that can do that all day long. This is where we live and these are the roads that we have. And unless and until we can get a, you know, $1 billion paving project in Gustavus, we have to deal with life with our roads in the best way we can. So thanks.
Also, just one last thing here, because I don't know if Tasha was here yet. I hadn't seen him, but Tasha, the extra $50,000 that I added in to cover the $50,000 expense on road maintenance is kind of what you were talking about. It's the interest from our AMLIP accounts that we've not used up till this point for anything. It's just been building in the AMLIP accounts, and it's just the interest that we made this year. So as long as interest rates stay high and the council chooses to use that money, we are kind of doing what you suggested, but not from the endowment fund. Okay. So moving on, we're at stipend. Yeah. So there are no social services. There was no social services requests, so there are no social services in the budget. The stipend is for the fire department volunteers. It's currently based on how many calls each volunteer goes on. Twice a year, we take that, we take the amount of volunteers, how many calls they participated in, we divide $1,500 by that. That comes up to a certain amount of money, and we pay that to the volunteers as a thank you for the jobs they do. The additional $1,500 is for gym memberships. Currently, that money is not being used, and the fire department is looking for new ways to either use that money we will eliminate the extra $1,500 from the budget in the future. Supplies are broken down into two categories in the budget. There's the basic supplies like toilet papers, pens, paper, copier ink, whatever, DRC gloves, fire department ambulance supplies, etc. That's what that $20,000 is. The program supplies are at $2,050. That is for the STEM kits, I believe, grab and go kits, the different programs that Leanne Weichel has set up. There are things that go along with this, and that's what the program supplies budget line is. Telecommunications is obviously phone, internet, across the city, all the departments. That changed. I highlighted that for the council. I must have done some math wrong or something last time. So that amount increased slightly between the work session and today to $17,921. Training for the volunteers at the fire department. We have a new clerk who's becoming a better clerk through training and other training opportunities. So that's $13,200. Oh, I'm sorry. Justin.
Thank you, Council. Could I ask what percentage of telecommunications do you have a breakdown as to internet and phone? I mean, I know there's probably E-rate and things maybe you're reimbursed for. I'm not sure. But is there a thing there? Because I'm just wondering, because Starlink is like $90 a month. Thanks.
Okay, so I don't have I can email you that information. I don't have it all broken down here in front of me at the moment. We do receive money from E-rate. The library's internet is obviously a lot more because of the amount of computers and everything they have. That is offset by an OWL grant, which is what E-rate is. It they basically pay $14,400 to the internet provider, and then they give the city $3,000 to offset the cost of the internet at the library. I will email Justin the information if anyone else would like it after we get done. Let me know, and I will add you to my list of people to send that to. We do currently, we've entered into a contract with Byte Network, and City Hall, the fire department, and the landfill currently are receiving free internet for the first 2 years, I believe, of the contract. The library does not receive free internet. So if anybody else would like that information, let me know, and I'll get it to you after the meeting. Travel, sorry.
Just, and we also have landlines around the city that we have to pay for. In addition to those landlines, our long distance charges, there's not a lot. People try to use their cell phones. I try to use my personal cell phone whenever I can, but we don't always have good service in here. So sometimes we do have to make long distance calls. Some of those are also our, we have two phone lines that are, I forget the name of it, but they're phone lines in which if there was a natural disaster and all the towers and communications get jammed up, those two phones, one the fire chief has, one the mayor has, those phones would be like priority to be able to call out in case of a natural disaster. And so having first alert or
first net,
something like that. And so those are like, I think it's about $90 a month for those specific type of phones and their service plans. So there are various other needs that are sort of not readily seen that we have as part of our telecommunications costs.
And also to that, the fire department has requested two new phones that will work. I don't want to say this wrong. I believe that they'll work anywhere in Gustavus to some extent. So the fire chief has asked for those to kind of bring Gustavus's ability to communicate into the 21st century. So that there's an additional cost there. And there was also a tablet so that they could, that they wanted, that would need to have internet as well. So that's, I mean, those are additional items that maybe I can point out that we have. But like I said, I can break everything down, show you what we pay for long distance, what we pay for the phones, what we pay for the internet. I just need to know who'd like that information. So moving back down to travel, each department has a certain amount of money for travel, except for marine facilities and the DRC. The fire department uses their travel budget to go to trainings, EMS symposiums, fire chief conferences, stuff like that. Admin has the bulk of the travel budget, and that covers council going to Alaska Municipal League conferences, for Kathy to be able to go to legislative conferences, for Liesl to go to her trainings, and if I have to go this year to the AML conference, it would pay for that too. But I volunteered not to, so we'll see what happens. Utilities, this changed a little bit. Something I did change this from the work session as well. I don't remember what the previous number was. I was good look, but it doesn't matter. The new number is $11,200 for electricity. $7,900 for stove oil, for a total of $19,100. The city hall is currently the guinea pig for the heat pumps, and the city does have in its capital improvement plan a plan to add heat pumps into the other department buildings. Currently, we're trying to find out how much it's actually costing us and whether or not it's the best investment, but we are moving forward in that direction. So whereas electricity has gone up, fuel oil has gone down. A vehicle, the only vehicles that the city owns currently are the ambulance, the fire truck, and the two water tenders. So all of the first three categories and vehicle apply to the fire department. $1,200 for fuel, $4,181 for insurance, $5,000 for maintenance and repair. The check engine light is on the fire truck, and so we needed to set aside some money to find out what's going on with that. And then mileage reimbursement. The bulk of this is for the Marine Facilities Coordinator, who uses his own vehicle to drive between City Hall, the different departments where he may or may not be helping out. Well, hopefully he is helping out if he's driving to them. The boat harbor, the dock, the most of the Marine Facilities Coordinator's day is spent driving from one location to another. So $1,200 is for that. $700 is split between the other departments if they do use their own vehicles. In this fiscal year, you can see we've only paid $682 so far. Most people aren't taking advantage of that, but still need to budget for it in case they do. So total vehicle, $12,281, which brings us to total expense, $1,235,000, $235,020.28. This left us with a negative income of $67,089.10, $50,000 of which we have allocated rollover. This is what I spoke about in the beginning about the disaster fund. The $50,000 is being moved from year to year to year as long as we're not moving it. So whereas in past years, we have maybe used more carryover to balance the budget. Up till this point, the only money that we carried over is the $50,000. We will need to do something to make up the additional $17,089.10, which could be carryover. There are other avenues that we could take. Either way, that's where the budget stands today.
Good job, Ben.
Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. Well, I don't see any questions from Zoom and none in the audience. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the council? This brings us to council questions and comments on items other than the budget.
We don't have that. It's a work session.
Oh, thank you. Are we ready for adjournment? Then we're done.
Other questions or comments from the public?
All right. Good. Yes, ma'am. Come forward. Colleen Stansbury.
Colleen Stansbury, just a suggestion to the council as you're going over this. I actually am impressed. I see us soon going to be in a position to have to prioritize our spending. And probably cut back. And my suggestion is that prioritization take place in what I consider to be, you know, critical services. And what I feel like critical services for the city to provide are public safety, number one. And that is fire and EMS, DRC, clean water, it's the dock, and probably a couple of other things, but public safety, and then public health, which again, water, roads, you know, because if our roads are in such bad shape that an emergency vehicle can't get to you, that's bad. So those are my suggestions as to how you prioritize things. There's a lot of other great things out there. I've heard a lot about the library tonight, and I think the library is great, but is it a critical service for the community to provide, for the city to provide? It's a great service. It's important, but is it critical? And there's a couple other ones that are critical, you know. And the other thing, the only last thing that I would like to add, and this is about the library, but I just did some research online. You can go to public library systems, I believe. Public library systems, Alaska, public library systems. And you can look and see what all the cities in Alaska, if they have a public library, what they spend and how that's broken down. And just from my brief observation, we support our library very generously, and that's a good thing. But for our population, we're far and above what anybody else in the state is, really. So keep that in mind. I don't certainly am not suggesting closing the doors or anything like that, but critical services.
Thank you. Your Thank 2 minutes you. Is up.
Well, I think that's a good statement to end on and a good thought. Thank you all for coming very much. We really appreciate hearing from you. And you know where to find us. We look forward to any more questions or comments that you have following tonight. We'll have a work session on May 6th, and which time we'll pick this up again. And then the following week on the 14th, will be our 13th will be our general meeting. So thank you, everyone. We're adjourned at 20 of 8.